time for It Says in the Papers, again from Caroline Murphy.
Enda Kenny makes news today as his calls or plans in three completely different areas make the lead in three papers. The Irish Independent goes with what it says he intends to do for first-time housebuyers. Hope for first-time housebuyers as 10% deposits to return is the headline, with the line underneath explaining Kenny plans scheme to bypass central bank stricter home loan rules. We're told the government is now planning to get around them through a new insurance scheme. Under plans that are still to be teased out, a portion of any new home loan to first-time buyers will be guaranteed by the state. It's based, we're told, on schemes in Canada, Finland and the UK. The Irish Times, meanwhile, leads with what he will call for from the EU. Kenny presses EU leaders for climate deal concessions is the headline there. We're told that as EU leaders advance a new climate change deal to deal with emissions, the Taoiseach will argue that our dependence on agriculture should be a factor. And the Irish Examiner goes with what he's calling for from Sinn Féin. Kenny Sinn Féin must tell if rapists were sent to South. Sean Connolly says Sinn Féin has been put under intense pressure by the Taoiseach to reveal anything it knows about sex offenders moved across the border to the Republic. The Sinn Féin leader's call to the Taoiseach, meanwhile, makes the second story on the front of the Times, with many of the papers reflecting Mr Kenny's meeting yesterday with Maria Cahill in their front page picture choices. The sub-headline on the Times' second story is Adams challenges Taoiseach to meet four people allegedly involved in Kangaroo Court. In the piece, we're also told that a solicitor representing the people named by Maria Cahill in the Spotlight programme has complained of trial by media and has said that the fallout from it has meant that his client's acquittals have been either ignored or devalued. There's plenty more on the Maria Cahill case elsewhere, of course. In the Mail, Niamh Lyons reports on what she told the Taoiseach under the question, were the IRA sex abusers just moved down south? While underneath, Senan Maloney's analysis piece is headlined, a question lingers, so silence won't do. Editorially, the paper asks, is this the beginning of the end for Adams? And says of his performance in the Dáil yesterday, once again, he proved himself his own worst enemy. The more Mr. Adams tries to explain, the less convincing those explanations become, says the writer, who concludes, there's now a distinct impression that Ms. Cahill's claims are only the tip of a very large and nasty iceberg upon which Mr. Adams' career could ultimately founder. On page 8 of the Times, Stephen Collins writes about the pressure Mr. Adams is under too. The headline there is Cahill leaves Adams and Sinn Féin reeling. While in the Independent, Lise Hand says of his performance in Leinster House, Adams sank in the face of Dáil storm. The high wire upon which he has balanced with ease for the entirety of his political career bucked and yawned beneath him in the teeth of the onrushing storm, she says, and then he lost his footing. Lost, spent or wasted, those are surely questions which will continue to be asked of the taxpayers' money which went to the charity Positive Action. And the revelations made on RTE yesterday get plenty of space today. They're the lead in the Irish Daily Mail. Taxpayer cash paid for drink at seminar on liver health is the aspect that paper picks up on. While the front page piece in The Independent is headlined, Blood Charity spent state funds on dog kennels. In a comment piece inside, Ailish O'Regan goes back, though, to the shocking infection which sparked the setting up of the group, and she writes under the headline, this is a sad end for a group born out of tragedy. But finally this morning, Roscommon's new free man gets attention. The Times reports Chris O'Dowd telling the crowd who gathered to share that freedom that actually I wasn't aware Roscommon had enslaved me. And we're told his acceptance speech was like a love letter to his hometown with a bit of slagging thrown in. He told his fellow Roscommoners, for instance, what we lack in clean water, we make up for in dirty jokes. And he noted that in being made a freeman, he was following in Mary McAleese's footsteps. That, he said, made him feel a little bit like Michael D. Higgins, but not, he reckoned, with the same IQ or the same inside leg measurement.
Caroline, thank you very much indeed.